Welcome to eHealth Learning, inspiring professionals worldwide.
To this computer. Good morning. Welcome to Embodied Health Learning. My name's Julian Marcus, and I'm joined by my colleague and friend, Vicky Wright, who was introduced to me by the lovely Liz Stewart. So Liz, if you're watching this at 5 in the morning or something unsavory, maybe the recording. Thank you, Liz, for introducing us. Vicky Wright is a structural integrator and craniosacral therapist, and has been quite active through this lockdown period in our community in the support group. So thank you, Vicky, for contributing to those. We had some discipline-specific cranial groups and some mixed bodywork groups through lockdown, and we continue to have those kind of calls for members and things. And Vicky came over to Portugal, where I am. Vicky's in the UK, and we took part in an embodiment workshop with Philip Shepherd, which was, I think, the only time we've met, but it was awesome. And you've done some webinars already with us on the neutral mask work, which is fascinating. I really want to host a workshop in Portugal doing that. And is there anything I've missed about you practice as a cranial and structural integrator in your part of the world in England, don't you?
Yes, I actually, I mainly practice craniosacral at the moment. Really where my focus is going. And so, yes, and very much this exploration of the body, of how we move and what shapes our anatomy, but from some very different lines. So one of them has been through structural integration and craniosacral therapy, and another one has been through theatre and movement and physical theatre. And within the bubble of physical theatre, one aspect of really studying our nonverbal communication and the different energetic states that our body can enter has been through mask and movement. So that's been a specialization within theatre. But very, very originally, kind of back in the day, in through school and through university, my studies were really focused on natural sciences and specializing in geology. And that's really, it's funny how life works, because in some ways life works in spirals, and we kind of come back and revisit previous areas, or areas that we've studied early on are kind of still in there, and cycle back. So that's very much been present, and this is partly what's brought back this connection across into paleontology and looking at past species and how it can actually shape the imprints that are still in our human body, which connect back to earlier evolutionary patterns for earlier species. So yeah, so it's really lovely to be here. Thank you very much, Julian. It's really great to give this talk, and then also to run the 3-part course over the next few weeks. So that's really exciting. This has been an area of work. Yeah,
Vicky, I'll just speak to the fact that it's a course. So if you're watching this live on Facebook or the recording somewhere, Vicky's got this upcoming 3-part course. And during lockdown, we've offered these at least half price to our normal courses. They've been £60, and there'll be one weekly installments in 3 parts. And Vicky's going to offer that and expand upon what she speaks about today into those recorded sessions. And you can access those in the link. If you're on Facebook, there's a link in the description to our courses page and to this course specifically, where you can sign up, and members get 20% off even that, off the £60. So members just pay 48. So yeah, we really hope you'll join us on that, because we'll be going deeper into this. And I wondered, Vicky, in the anatomy that John Sharkey has shared with us, he talks about the heart, the genesis, in the embryological genesis of the heart moving through a single chamber, a dual chamber, and 3 chambers into the 4th chambers. And I wonder if you mentioned that somewhere, because apparently, like a frog, there's a lot of crazy mechanics. And in a frog, I believe a wormhole opens up, or a some kind of what's the word? Quantum. It's a quantum event when their heart evolves. Of course, John Sharkey showed the spiral nature of the heart and how it. I'm not giving away your course, am I? No.
No, don't worry. You're not giving like a spoiler alert.
Oh, God, that'd be terrible. No, that's
fine. But you're right. It is really interesting because if you look at, originally in terms of the heart mechanics, in essence, what happens is there is this amazing spiral action that happens. And I really recommend going on Google or YouTube and just looking for videos on the spiral heart, and you'll find this incredible, you can actually very gently prise apart and it unfolds in its spiral form. And there's some really beautiful videos up there around that. And that is very much, we can see that map through the different species of how that really develops through. And it's fairly, so yeah, that's really, those transitions are from, you're going from fish through to tetrapods and then through to kind of cynodonts, which are this tetrapod mammal middle ground. It's really incredible how we can look at anatomy and really see these changing shapes. So rather than just seeing, as the heart is just like this set four chamber, is actually understanding the spiral mechanisms that really have shaped it and being able to see the layers beneath that. So yeah, you're completely on with that connection to the heart. And those layers and those patterns of development come through all different parts of our anatomy. And so don't worry, you haven't given a spoiler for the talk today. But it is very much, that is a really key example.
Beautiful.
And so yeah. So with today, I've brought together some slides just to be able to, this is a huge topic, like especially when we look at time, it can be really baffling and it can be really hard to fathom. When we start talking on millions of years. So what I've done is I've brought together some slides and we'll then look at one example in particular, and then also look at different approaches of movement and then concepts of different dimensions of the human body. So the first thing I'd like to really say is a connection of us back to the oceans. There is, in some ways, we are very, very complicated fish. And I think as human beings, well, we live in this human being world where we have very little connection to actually some of the transitions that go before us. And so the first thing I'd like to do is for everyone on the call now, and then also anyone who's watching the recording, is just to take a moment and to sit back and take in the image here and just fathom the oceans and the water-like quality in our bodies. It is something that really underlies many different processes that are very essential. And one of them that we know about or that we look at a lot is embryology. So just for a moment, just taking a pause and just checking into the sit bones and into the weight of your body going down. And just noticing where your breath is. And the aliveness in your body. Good. And before we start, what I'd like to do is just to check in, breathing into the front space of the body. So imagining breathing into the front of the front of the feet, the toes, the front surface, front of the legs. And then also all the way up and even above the head, just in the front, all around, and noticing in this whole front portion of the body, if there's an area that's easy to breathe into, or if there's an area that's less easy or has less breath at this moment. And then from there, checking into the back of the body and checking into the back of behind the head, all the way down that back space. And imagine that you can just breathe in maybe half a meter behind the head, half a meter behind the heart, behind the spine, and all the way down and half a meter back. So you're really breathing into that back portion of the body. Good. And so, as I mentioned just before, as we come back into the information that we're about to kind of go through and process, just to really say that we'll be exploring these different species, and we'll be looking at past species, and really the information that arises is from fossils, and it's from the study of fossils. So as we look back in time, there's a huge amount of information we can now find out and explore and discover. And there's also a huge unknown as well. And it's quite amazing going back and really seeing certain aspects that are just fully unknown. And some of them are in the way in which the reconstructions are drawn, or certain information on the soft tissue, or the fur or no fur or colorings. So really, so there is, as we're about to step back into this exploration, knowing that there are these two aspects. There's the fundamental knowns, and then there's some of the unknowns as well. And so within our body work, within working with clients and patients, we're all drawn to understand more about the human body. And typically, within all of the work within rehabilitation and movement, we really have this framework of the human body being vertical. And so we really work with looking at, how is the movement coming through the body and how can I strengthen it? And it's all within this understanding that we are aligned and we are living within the gravitational field, and that we live vertically. But it's really, and that shapes all of our day-to-day life. That shapes not just exercise, but it shapes our perception of the world and our experience of it, and all of the myriad forms. But what's really fascinating is if we start looking back in evolution, bipedalism arrives about 7 million years ago. And yet we have the movement, the evolution of movement on land has been occurring 375 million years. So the forces and the evolutionary steps that shape our anatomy today are not just living in this vertical line, but it's actually on all the different layers of movement, how different parts of the anatomy form, and then also how they adapt as shifts occur. So it's quite amazing, because in some ways, if you look at it statistically, it's about under 2% of really, you know, kind of living in a vertical field. It's just about 2% of all life on all of the time that vertebrates have been on land. And in actual fact, if we look at evolution properly, the forces that really underlie our blueprint go back way, way further. So this, it really is, to understand our human body and our anatomy, it's really useful to look back across through time. So this is what we're going to be doing. So what I want to do is just give a little overview and really just kind of recap, just to get an approximate. And we don't have to hold on to these numbers, but this is just, you know, just to find our bearings as we go through time. So, you know, early life in the oceans begins around 500 million years ago. There is a number of forms that develop in the early aquatic environment. And there's actually a very famous, in geology, there's a very famous time period called the Cambrian Explosion, where it's like the designer goes wild and there's the most amazing forms that come out. So there's like five-eyed creatures, there's many, many, you know, kind of many, many tentacles, many, many different formations of exoskeleton and also the internal skeleton. And within that, what we find is we have the notochord develop and we have the spine develop at this time, within that time. So from there, we have the development of one of the branches that comes out is the lobe-finned fish. And there's a migration onto land, and that happens around 375 million years ago. And from there, we step through and we go into almost lizard-like creatures called tetrapods. And from there, there is this continuing evolution through to cynodonts, which are now completely extinct, but they're like half mammal, half tetrapod. And then we get the evolution of the early mammals going on. We've got the dinosaurs and their extinction, the big extinction event 65 million years ago. And then we've got a huge radiation of mammals coming out at around a few million years after 65 million years. And part of this is a radiation up into the trees. So beginning of that movement up into the trees, and from there, the first primates 55 million years ago. And stepping through, there is then a shift from being in a quadrupedal position in the trees to then coming up to vertical. And it's believed there's some really interesting researchers in Birmingham suggesting that actually rather than bipedalism coming about as a movement on the ground and suddenly reaching up and standing up against the surface, that actually it was more a migration in the trees coming from, you know, kind of actually resting in this vertical position and a shift in the balance there. And so then we come on to early bipedalism and this vertical living. So we kind of began to touch on this as we settled into that picture of the ocean. But what I'd love to do is just to check into the spine, but also to check into the contact point, whether you're sitting or standing as you're listening to this talk, and just to check into the weight going down. And this, and you're welcome to close your eyes if you'd like, or you can keep them open. And from there, we're just going to have a moment really listening to the spine, and almost as if your body is like seaweed. So if your contact point with the chair or your contact point with the floor is rooted down and attached, then just beginning to explore the ways, the layers of movement. How does your spine want to move at this moment in time? And you may feel that there's more movement at the base, or there's more movement at the tip of the seaweed. There might be some spiral-like motions, or you might find yourself going forward and back or side to side. And just seeing what you enjoy, seeing, following that movement pattern, the way in which the movement wants to come through your spine today, in this moment. And just taking your attention to the very top. And then taking it all the way down to the base. Nice. Good. And so from there, slowly opening your eyes and just noting what movement pattern, what quality of movement has arisen, what you enjoyed, where you found good movement or enjoyable movement coming up through the spine. And so from here, I'm going to come back to the presentation when you're ready. You may want to just be slow and opening your eyes at the time that feels right. And so what I want to do is really look at how the human body has changed in relationship to the spine. And so just having a look at, say, if we look at a standing human being, and really what we have, if we look at the spinal orientation, is we have balance in the vertical. And typically we have alignment with gravity in this field. There's some really interesting areas of body work that look at really optimizing alignment and its connection to health. And these include practices like structural integration and also the Alexander technique, and also a number of other practices. But as we look at how the spinal orientation changes through time, what we see is really in quadrupedal form, there is this C curve that comes through the body from all the way from the top of the spine down to the tail. And in aquatic form, what we have is we have this alignment. It's very much a horizontal line, and we have that sideways undulation through the body. And these layers, so I'm going to go back actually because it's not nice to really just take in these changes. These layers of movement all shape our different systems, our different body systems. And that is something that I'm drawn to explore through movement work, and also through theater and through mask. And really seeing, in addition, the implications into physical practice, into seeing how the body finds health. And yeah, so from here, we're going to move on. So we come, it's really shaping our different parts of our anatomy. So stepping back and looking at the different species as we look back into human evolution, in some ways, when we step into, in some ways, our human body holds all of these earlier layers of movement within it. And what I've found in movement work has been that we can access different states of being as we reactivate different layers of movement. So this is just gonna, what I realize is this is a huge, huge, huge topic. So we will be going into more detail in the 3-part course. And very much in the first week, we will be looking at the way in which the spine develops and the different layers of movement through the spine. Then we'll be looking at limb development and how we relate into our, how our hands and feet connect and actually how they can be perceivers. They are actually a sense, a very dominant sense within themselves. And then finally, looking at some of the consequences in bipedalism. So with this, I'm going to just highlight some of the aspects that we'll be looking at. So firstly is the dynamic of movement through the spine, shift in the limbs, and also the articulation of the neck, some of the roles that as through a movement of coming up in some of the later quadrupedal styles of movement, then there is an ability to actually articulate the head and neck. And this is almost the first layer, one of the first layers of nonverbal communication in a group scenario. The sensory shifts that occur through evolution. And also, as mentioned before, the consequences of bipedalism. And within that, some of the observations and potential connection to the way in which we perceive and order our reality in connection to time, and specifically chronological time. And then, as mentioned, our connection to our hands and feet, which now we use very much in a healing modality to perceive things through the body, but really the origins of it coming in quadrupedal movement and a perception of the environment around. So what I'd like to do is we're going to look at one aspect for today. And one of them is going to be looking at the way in which our limbs have changed and how they have shifted through evolution. And one of the key things that really, this is one example, and it, in some ways it's, that there are a number of really, really key things. One is as Julia mentioned, is the evolution of the heart. But also another one is the changing position of the limbs. And the way in which we can see this is really by looking, as we begin to look at the dermatome map. And the dermatome map really shows the different areas of nerve connection to the different layers, areas of skin, and how they relate to the spinal vertebra. And as we look in this way at the human being and its dermatome map, it can look a little bit confusing. In some ways, especially around the legs, but also around up around the arms as well, there seems to be, it seems a bit almost like non-linear, or it seems complex. But really, what's the most amazing thing is if we then look at the same thing, but we look at it actually in terms of spinal development. And one way is to look at the dermatome layers when someone is in this position here, and we can really see the segmental connections through different areas. But one of the reasons why we have this area, you can't see my arrow, I don't think, but if you look around the pelvis and also down around the legs, this pattern really is strongly connected to the limbs and how the limbs shift through time. So what I would like to do is, if you have an area of floor, or if you have a little bit of free space in your room, what I'd like you to do is, we're going to step into a little bit of exploration, but rather than sitting in our vertical position, we're going to get down on the floor. So from here, and I'm going to do this too. So from here, please get yourself comfortable if you can. Get yourself down onto the floor. And what we're going to start off looking at is, we're going to start by looking at the very early time from aquatic development. So the time that there is movement, there's a sideways movement through the fish, and this is the lobe-finned fish. So you've got the sideways movement, and then you've got a completely different introduction of forces. So typically in aquatic movement, it's very much into this. Is everything good, Julian?
I was just going to say, should we unshare your slideshow so that people can see you big?
Oh yeah, do go. Yeah.
I'll stop the slideshow. And then you can share again after.
Please do.
Yeah.
Is that good? Oh, can I do that? Sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't worry. You can do it. You can do it. You can just stop sharing. It's probably.
Hang on. There we go.
Yeah. Then we can see you big. Great.
Oh, great. Perfect. Yeah. So coming back to this position. So coming down onto the floor. And really, we're going to start from the movement of being in the water, of being fish-like. And with that, there is a sideways undulation through the spine. And really, it's just movement within one plane. And what happens is as we start to go through that movement, then as land is introduced, as the gravitational contact force is introduced in locomotion, then we have this contact force up. So what I'd like you to do is we're going to step through that transition. So from this position here, if you are lying down on the floor, and if you're not, then what I would invite you to do is to begin to explore this sideways movement through the spine. So as we were looking at the movements in the seaweed quality, some of you may have started to move, or you might have had a sideways movement involved, and that is accessing this dimension of movement. So as you come into, if you're going to go into this full style, then please join me on the floor. And from here, you're bringing your head all the way down and your eyes down to the floor. So rather than looking up like this, it's going to be bringing it all the way down. So you're really leading with the top of your head here. And so from here, starting to explore this movement through. And just seeing how you can move through and where it is that the movement is in the spine. And just beginning to, so we're going to do this for about half a minute, just checking into the sideways movement. See what areas are contacting on the floor. And just begin to see if you can wriggle around. And as you begin, just bringing in, how would you move in if you are, and we're going to do, this is a movement exercise, typically maybe around 10, 20 minutes long. We're gonna go really, really quickly through this. So what I would like you to do is initially, the first stage is checking into the sideways movement. And the next is then really seeing what movement, what sideways, how can you wriggle? And as you begin to get that movement through, then we have the counter torsion coming through. So from here, we have this movement coming through the spine. Is that clear, Julian?
Yeah, to me it is. Is it clear to everyone in Zoom? Yeah. I can imagine the points of contact evolving to the necessity to have the limbs oriented to that movement. I could feel it quite just from standing and the kind of seaweed movement. In that seaweed movement, I've noticed the most freedom around the upper chest at the back, and I really felt the waters that weren't there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? What's really fascinating is, so for example, as we begin to get more and more familiar with this counter-torsional movement, is that actually that's present in our everyday human walk. So even just within that natural counter-torsion of as you swing through, so for example, as you swing, you've got opposite elbow to the knee coming through. These movement patterns are in our human locomotion, are our underlying different layers of it. So we have this counter-torsion coming through. And what's really interesting is if you start to really go into these movement patterns, is that what happens is very much this
this stability through, you have the elbow out to the side, in line with the shoulder here. And this movement of the spine, which in from the fish, what you have is you really have only that sideways movement. And then there has to be this early counter torsion begins to set up through the spine. And what we have is we have this a change in the dimension of movement through the spine. So early on, we just have this sideways movement in this plane. And then what happens is we then begin to get this counter-torsional dynamic. And what that does is it creates a little bit of rotation, tiny little bit of rotation, which over millions and millions and millions of years, and we are talking a huge amount of evolution. We're talking from the very much the first fish on land to around the kind of the end of the dinosaurs. So around like 73 million years ago, there is this spinal shift that then what we set up is we are then able to do the undulation, which is the forwards movement undulation. And that is within the quadrupedal running of an animal. And that is something that then, if we look at another part of evolution, we actually see it readapted in the dolphin and whale movement. As they go back to the oceans, rather than taking back the fish movement, they are actually taking on that forward undulation. So this forward undulation is really key. It's actually present in every step that we take. And there's a migration of it. So you go from the sideways all the way down to the forward undulation. With those changes, we have the change in the position of the hands of the arm relationship. And this is where we're going to jump back into the thing. So, great. Let me share screen again. Great. So from here, and we've kind of been talking a little bit, but this is now bedding down into the species a bit more. So what we have, and do just let this absorb it from a peripheral experience, but what we have is we have this change from a lobe-finned fish here, and we've got this sideways movement and very much the fin, the presence of fins, and oh, hang on, let me jump in properly to this. Great. So we've got this lobe-finned fish. This is pre-vertebrate on land. And then this is the first, well, it's the earliest known fish to be on land. This is Tiktaalik. And it was around 375 million years ago. And we have this very much, this development of the fin going into the limbs. And within this, there is a debate about how much movement could have been possible. It may be that this creature actually just shunted because the level of forward undulation is just not present in the spine at that point. And we come through, we've got the development of tetrapods, such as Seymouria, and you can really clearly see this position of the arm out to the side. And pretty much at almost a 90 degree angle, it's out in that position there. Coming through, we've got Morganucodon, which is the first mammal. And what we see is we see this coming in, this drawing in of the limbs underneath the body. And then Didelphodon. Now I will say with this, these are artist reconstructions. And the colors are not known. And actually some of the soft tissue is not known as well. So it's quite interesting. There could be, you know, kind of much larger ears, or there could have been, and none of this would come up really in the fossil record. Going through, we then have, so we have these limbs coming underneath us. We have Didelphodon. We're now in the land of the mammals. And then there's a movement up into the trees with species like Plesiadipus. Then we go across into primates. and proconsul around 23 million years ago, known as the common ancestor between us and great apes. And so this is just a little kind of background of all the different species next to the timeline. But this is really beautifully summarized by someone called Tom Hogevost. And you can see there's basically a shift from the side position here, up, 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 down, and through. And with that, there is a rotation around. So whereas, I'm going to turn it back here. So whereas typically we think, our bodies are really, this is me as a human being, actually the original position of the shoulder is around here, in that position there. And so actually, as we begin to map through, if we come to the side and we look at that, the dermatome map, that really is the position where we are. Looking at the limbs, looking at the legs, what there is a rotation from the out coming around through. And so that again, so the arms are rotating out into being into a regular human. I'm not showing any of this, am I? Sorry.
Only small.
Oh, really? Okay, great. I'll be small, that's fine. So we are opening out through development. There is this movement from this position here around, there's an opening out of the arms, and the limbs are coming in. And this is shown in these different species. But also, you may, if you're a body worker or you have worked in embryology, you may also find, this is also something that's happening in embryology. And you're right. So there are these interesting parallel connections between evolution and developmental movement patterns in embryology. And so this is where we are now. So what we see is within these layers of movement or layers of developmental structure, we have a shift in arm position and in mechanical movement. So originally we have very much this counter-torsional experience through the spine, and it very much coming around this way. Then there is this very much rotation in, and the limbs coming underneath. And with that, there is also a change in movement of the motion. So in quadrupedal movement, then, if you were, say, let's look at this little diagram here. If you look at number C, the little creature here, what you have is, even within your stride, you'll be reaching forward. So your reach around the shoulder starts coming higher and then down as the movement of the quadrupedal movement comes through. So, good. So this is really something that it's a background to how some of the qualities in our human body, such as the dermatome map, have come about. How it can relate to our spine, to the segmental development of the spine, but really about different layers of movement. What I'm going to do this. So yeah, so I'm also going to check into time. How are we doing, Julian? Are we
good? Yeah.
Did you want to do some questions at the end, or is it very much a running all the way up? I've got some more material, or as in, I have a good number of slides that we can keep on going through. But I just want to check in about questions.
Yeah, it's good. I don't see any questions on Zoom. Have you got any questions around what Vicky's sharing today or around the course? I think everything you've shared is really clear. It came up for me about, I had a movement neurodevelopmental patterning therapy, I suppose you could call it, for dyslexia from my learning when I was 8. And the Institute of Neurophysiological Psychology in Chester in the UK, and Sally Goddard and Peter Blythe did all this research. about, and for me, one of the movements they gave me to help balance my nervous system was contralateral and lying prone on the floor, and the nerve reflex stimulation of moving opposite arm and opposite leg and moving the face across the carpet, which was also stimulating the nerves on the face, and how this helps balance the left and right brain and echoes and mirrors the movements of the baby in the womb. And if we get an umbilical entrapment with a limb, it can interrupt these contralateral movements that they do in the womb and then in the cot and in the wherever they are, and then come into crawling. So you were inspiring lots of thinking about these kind of things.
Great. So what would it be okay if we ran over by about 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's okay with me. Yeah.
Okay, great stuff. Let's keep going, and just to be able to share some of these other findings, at least just within this, would be great. So just to say, within the you know, kind of three-part course, we will be stepping through in more detail, but also being able to have space to ask questions and to be able to go into certain specifics around movement, and but in connection with your own practice. So if there are certain, like you just mentioned, Julian, if there was a certain connection to an earlier experience of, hang on, how does this relate into this? Then we can really start to bed in more into some of the dynamics. And within that, there will be, we'll look at some of, it's an interweaving between the scientific work, but also the experiential movement work. Mm. And part of it, some of the movement findings, which I'm curious about and that I work with, really relate into some theatre work that I have done. And that is something from a combining different aspects in a newer way. And so I want to share some of the origins. So some of the aha moments, or some of the, oh my gosh, this is actually, this movement relates into this, comes not just from the therapeutic work and not just from reading, you know, kind of scientific material, but it comes from working in much larger class settings of and studying the movement patterns and experiences that a lot of people find. And so this is really something of crossing over into the land of physical theater and of animal movement and of mask, and accessing not just in terms of a somatic movement inquiry, hang on, what if I bring this sideways movement into my body, but actually working with aspects of physical feedback, not just by having an audience and observing movement patterns, but literally finding within animal mask work, really finding these layers of movement. And when the layers of movement come through, it's suddenly is very clear for the audience. So it's taking these areas and these aspects of work and bringing in somatic movement from a mask perspective and from looking at embodied states and mask practices.
Could we say something there for people who don't know that you've done, maybe mentioning the training you did in neutral mask and just very briefly explaining that, and also that you did a big project on these evolutionary masks, and there's a beautiful film which I admired, didn't I, with that you had done about that project and the animal masks that mapped the evolution. Say something about those and where people could find out more information, because it's inspiring.
Oh yeah, sure. I have this in the next slide. So I will keep on this. But firstly, I'd like to name some of the origins and sources of what's inspired this work. And
One of the really key ones is someone called Giovanni Fusetti, who is within physical theatre. He combines not only body-based practices and gestalt psychotherapy and some shamanic approaches, but also ecology. So he really looks at combining these fields, and that was one of the very early kind of seeds into exploring the human body in this way. Another one is someone called Professor Neil Shubin, and he is an incredible paleontologist who also trains medics in anatomy at Chicago University. But he's author of Your Inner Fish, and it was his book. So it's coming across his book and really looking at the layers of evolution and its connection to our anatomy that really created a turning point in that movement exploration. And within the project that you mentioned, a lady called Professor Christine Janis, who's based over in Bristol University, and she has been largely, she has given me all the background species information. And then separately, my own practice of craniosacral therapy, and that's over with the Craniosacral Therapy Education Trust in London. And then also, as you mentioned, Liz Stewart and another teacher, Tom Wing, at the Guild over in Colorado. So within structural integration. So those are this kind of mashup. But within the movement research, it's really using movement in mask and movement to activate these original patterns. And this is some photos here. You can see this. This is actually a lobe fin fish. This mask, it is accurate to the shape of the species, and that all goes from fossil data. And then it's this process, the project that you're referring to is the Evolution Project, and it's really activating these old patterns of movement, but from a mask perspective. So we would go into the studio and see, okay, how does this move? How does this work? How does this shape move? Firstly, without the scientific knowledge, and then secondly, applying what the movement findings that we found across into how it connects and what was present. But what is interesting, so within this process has been, I'll flick back to here, has been one of the ahas, or one of the this is very curious, has been in relationship to the movement in the frontal plane. And that's something that we've checked into a little bit. We even checked in at the very beginning into this balance of the front and the back in a certain way. But when we accessed this sideways movement pattern, what's really curious is that a number of people had experiences, states of no time, or very, very meditative states, or became into very states, very peaceful states. And what I'm curious about is basically how we move through gravity and how that has changed. And really to say that this is one kind of picture that slightly summarizes this idea, or another way is by looking at a pencil and really saying, okay, we're moving through the world, you know, in terms of lobe fin fish, horizontally. Again, even within quadrupedal movement, there's a completely different change in spinal motion through with the introduction of gravity. But still, there's that movement through. And then with bipedalism, you turn the pencil up and you're then moving in a very, very different way. And what the consequences of that are. And in essence, what has been really interesting is this connection to time and our relationship to the sagittal plane. So separately in theatre dynamics and in movement within numerous fields. And actually, you mentioned Philip Shepherd, and he's another person that has wonderfully, again, connected this realm of the back relating to the past and the front relating to the future. And the first time I ever came across this was actually working with Giovanni and within the realm of the neutral mask, again, which you mentioned. But really this relationship that actually as we turn up, as the pencil turns up, what happens is there's this ordering, there's a relationship of chronological time, of a perception of clock time. And that comes as a result of the way in which we move through space. So within this, just to summarize a little bit, within that movement work through the mask stuff, what we really found is that when people, and maybe you had a little glimpse of this movement position as we lay on the floor, but if you look at the very top picture, when we are in this alignment, this horizontal alignment of the spine, and as there is this sideways movement that comes through, what's really interesting are the states that people experience, and also this quality of losing a sense of time is really, really interesting. And if we look at other practices, and if we look at and part of this kind of relates a little bit into the connection to Dr. Ida Rolf and the relationship to the gravity. But certainly as we look at other states, when we step into meditative states, if we look at some of the postural positioning that we're doing, again, there is this balance in the sagittal plane. So it's when we align to this sideways plane that then there are these shifts in our human perceptions, and that relates to really the origins all the way back in the oceans. So really, I mean, these principles and these fundamentals of posture of in some of these, you know, kind of in our practices of meditation and in our relationship to time, you know, kind of really hinge back all the way back to the very early development of the spine and its movement within water. So that's coming back to the oceans is a really key thing. And there are many, many more aspects connecting into, you know, kind of aquatic life and a movement there. They're really, really key. Yeah. That hold, there are potentially other qualities of living in the water that shift our perceptual fields. So that is the, I'm going to stop sharing now. my screen. Hang on, if I can do that. I stopped sharing. Hang on. I'm going to can I do this? There we go. Great. So yes, now I'm back.
Thank you, Vicky.
Yeah, there we go.
That is. I love it. Appreciation on Facebook happening, little notifications. So I hope you enjoyed that on Facebook. And you can also put questions for Vicky on Facebook. This recording will be in the members area shortly and will be included and grouped with the course, of course, that Vicky will be sharing. The dates of this course, I'm just going to look up. So I could really feel what you were talking about, Vicky, in my body, which is, and I was thinking, this is a really good example of embodied health learning with the science, the science and the somatics and the noticing. Really cool. So our evolving body your sessions will be, because there's going to be, we're encouraging people to have at least like a yoga mat's worth of space around them to be able to move. And, the dates are on the event. We've got the 13th of October. This is the free talk introducing it. And then they're 1 week apart. I'm just looking it up. And then they're going to be 90-minute sessions, Vicky, so that there's an hour to 90 minutes so that you've got time to move and reflect and share back. And there'll be a meeting style rather than webinar. This is a webinar, but you'll be able to share your screen so you can share your experience as a group. It'll be a bit more intimate and interactive, won't it, Vicky?
Yeah, very much so. So, you know, in these experiences where it's like
you know, it's just one way, isn't it? This communication or the sharing out. But what's really interesting is really seeing how you feel it in your body and what is real for you, and how does that connect through? Or there's a huge wealth. I mean, you know, kind of within e-health learning, all of the people, like all the participants, just this incredible body of knowledge. And so it's not just, you know, kind of learning about a set thing, but it's how it integrates into your own practice and into how you work with people and experience your body and experience the world around. So, yeah, I think it would be a lot more informal and a place to directly ask questions. If you have any burning questions or anything you'd like to share, then you're really welcome to, either post it in the Facebook link or chat or, you know, comments or email me directly. And yeah, I'm really happy to answer any questions from there. But yeah.
Just mention your practice website, if you will. It's
Expression of Health. .co.uk. That's the craniosacral better side of things.
So I think you were super clear, hence no questions popping up, but we're just going to hang around here for a couple more moments for you to reflect or come up with a question. I've shared your Facebook page because that was the easiest thing to find for me just quickly here in Zoom, which is Expression of Health. You'll find it, and Vicky's website is easy to find as well. So CTET student here, will it be available online afterwards? Paul is asking. Yes, it will. So as with our other courses, Paul's asking, will it be available? Yes, they're all recorded, the three sessions. And if you sign up, Vicky may make her slides available as well. Some teachers do that, but the recordings, you can watch as many times as you like, and you can download the audio as well and listen to it offline. So some of the guided parts, you might like to listen back and follow without looking at the screen afterwards, once you've watched and taken it all in. So yes, it will be recorded. And we have a whole load of other courses that are recorded and still available, but live is very interesting because we can ask you questions, Vicky, and explore our perspectives as body workers. We have body work and movement therapists mainly, but lots of different disciplines and lots of experience to come together and share it. So I look forward to beginning the series of three. I just looked up the dates here. It's 20th and 27th of October. This is forming next, the introduction.
It's the next three Tuesdays. So
27th and 3rd.
Yeah.
I've started. Go on. Sorry.
Same time next week. Yeah.
Same time next week. Awesome. Yes. We're trying these for different time zones. Steve Haynes did his pain course at exactly this time, and it went well. So we're doing these three dates, 20th, 27th and 3rd of November, from 10:30 UK time to 11:30 UK time. We may run on a little bit in those sessions if the whimsy takes us. Yeah. Thank you so much, Vicky. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. It's great to, it's always nice to connect, and it's great. Great to share this on eHealth as well.
It's wonderful to have you, and it shares to me the perspective backstory to John's, he did a presentation during lockdown on the planes of movement, and I remember filming him explaining. So this gives a multi-million year backstory. So Natalia says, eye-opening info and experience and delivered with such equanimity. Thank you, Vicky. We'll be signing up. What wonderful. Yeah, it was really, really awesome, Vicky. And I look forward to, Vicky's doing another webinar tonight. So if you enjoyed this, then do the course. It's going to be awesome. And tonight, what are you talking about tonight? It's about center.
Yeah, so it's applying some of the theatre work in communication, but again, connecting into body posture and how we relate in terms of Zoom. So some of the consequences as we communicate more and more on Zoom and online with loved ones or in work contexts. Really some of the consequences within communication and within how our bodies can shift and come forward and try and reach out. But really within that, looking at from my work within theatre and working on nonverbal communication in more regular ways of performing on stage and also, you know, kind of just working with actors and their body posture and how different dynamics come into play. It's really then what is happening now that we're coming online and what are some of the things to look out for and some of the aspects that it relates into our body posture in terms of similar in some ways to what we've been talking about today, is that we're in this vertical world and then this is our relating field. So how we're drawn in or pushed away or this and that.
Awesome. So that's eHealth members webinar. So just to remind people, or if you're new to eHealth, memberships from £12 a month is our sign up price. So members are signing up for Vicky's webinar for a few weeks now, like today's one, but this one's live on Facebook. We'll leave this one up on Facebook until the course begins. So please share it with others, share it into groups of bodywork and movement, and feel free to do that. And tonight's one is going to be in Zoom, but it won't be live on Facebook. It's more of an intimate setting. And we invite you to tonight's, if you're a member of eHealth Learning or you want to join us, it's at 7 o'clock UK time. And Vicky will be hosted by my colleague, John Wilkes. And I will watch the catch up of that because I look forward to that too. We've been using that, Vicky, with regards to our embodiment work with consent and the spaciousness within embodied coaching of how's it feel if I'm here? You know, those practices that you can do in theatre and in person, how they apply online is very interesting. So I look forward to watching what you have to say about that too. And we will see you tonight and shortly for your course. Yeah. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you. And thank you for everyone else watching. And thank you.
See you soon.
Yeah,
bye, everyone.